Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM. This is TCNT Movie Talk. This is where we talk. Sorry. I have heard the song way too much. Way too much.
I've never heard this song before.
Never?
Never.
Number one song in the country right now.
What is this? Yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah. It's Old Town Road.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm more familiar with the Billy Ray remix.
Yeah. My 9-year-old sister is obsessed with this song. Obsessed. This is actually the first time
I've ever heard it. I really just played it out of curiosity.
Really?
It's got a real modern-day Bubba Sparks vibe to it.
It's got an interesting story behind it that I won't spend too much time on just because I don't have it in front of me and I'll probably say it wrong. But pretty interesting story if you want to check it out. It's a rapper who, like, people were accusing of sounding country. And then I think that he had a song that made it on, like, the Billboard Country Top 100.
Right. And people got mad. Yes. Billy Ray Cyrus stepped in and was like, I got your back, bro.
Yeah, he was like, nah, man, this is country. And then he did it. He was featured on a version of it. And
was it Cowboy Troy?
Billy
Ray got weirdly cool at his older age. Like, his wife's selling pot.
He was probably always cool.
He wasn't, because my dad used to know him. My dad said he was a jerk.
Really?
All right. My dad used to go to the bar where he was the house band, the Executive Inn in Paducah, Kentucky.
He was a jerk before he was big?
Yeah, my dad said he was a real pain.
He saw the way that Miley went and went, well, I don't want to go like that. So.
Miley's real name is Destiny.
Really?
Usually you don't start with that. Usually you work up to that.
Yeah.
That's a choice made in your early 20s. Yeah, you know,
she was Smiley.
Got bills to pay.
I called her Smiley Miley.
I actually did not know that.
Jill doesn't work. Destiny. That works.
Well, needless to say, it is actually, I think, a pretty good song. It's pretty catchy. But this is TCNT Movie Talk. We talk about movies in theaters this week, DVD and Blu-ray releases this week, movies that are new out on streaming, movies out this week 10 years ago, movies out 20 years ago, some trailers, some other news items, and whatever else we feel like talking about, like Old Town Road. Check out the song. Movies in theaters this week, you've got A Dog's Journey, John Wick Chapter 3. And the sun is also a star.
John Wick 1 could be called A Dog's Journey.
That's true, right? Oh my gosh.
I know you guys are going to want to wipe out on John Wick, so real quick. I thought, hasn't Dog's Journey happened?
That was a dog's purpose.
This is actually the third one, because there was a dog's
colonoscopy.
That's not what it was. There was A Dog's Purpose, there was A Dog's Way Home, and now this is A Dog's Journey.
Can we send these movies to the farm?
Yeah.
And I'll live.
They make a lot of money.
Nice life somewhere.
Ironically, these movies put me to sleep.
A dog's long nap.
So this is actually the actual sequel to A Dog's Purpose.
Okay. Right.
The other movie was just kind of a spin-off. It was like another dog movie.
Is this like the MCU and all the dogs are going to have to meet and team up at some point?
Maybe.
To fight the ghost of Grumpy Cat?
Maybe. I still haven't watched A Dog's Purpose. I read the book. I keep on wanting to watch the movie, but I haven't.
Isn't that the one where the dog dies like 4 times over the course of the movie?
Yes.
Was a 0.00% chance I will ever see a movie.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure this happens in A Dog's Journey too, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't know. I haven't seen the actual movie. The book was actually very good. I really enjoyed the book. It is really sad. Like, you would definitely cry while you're reading it, so as long as you like tears on your pages, but it's really good. Very well written, very good story, and it is heartwarming.
Before we get into
heartwarming.
Warming.
Heartwarming.
It worms its way into your heart like a parasite.
Before we get into John Wick, the sun is also a star. I saw somebody review that. I don't know if you've seen the trailer for it or not, but they basically said that if you weren't sold on the trailer, you're not going to be sold on the movie, because the trailer is the movie. Have you seen the trailer
for it? That's the one with the really pretty girl from Black-ish, right?
I believe so, yes. Yeah, yeah. So basically, she's leaving. She's got 24 hours with this guy, and he says that, I can make you fall in love with me in 24
hours. Before Sunrise.
Ethan Hawke,
Jimmy Delpy movie, where they have 24 hours to spend together before they're
going
to leave.
Going to see John Wick. I can't wait to see it. The first movie was such a, we were talking about it earlier, but it was such a fun surprise. When I first heard about John Wick, I didn't see it in the theater. I saw it after it was already done. And it seemed like just another one of those sort of throwaway Keanu Reeves movies straight to Netflix DVD, and then watched it and was just like blown away at how much fun and how unique and different that first film was. Second one was okay. I think it lacked the style of the first one and the directors who helmed the first one.
Well, I think it was one of the two guys stayed and one of them left.
The other guy should have stayed with him.
Yeah.
I think, you know, would have been. But I'm super looking forward to Chapter 3 going to see it today.
Plus, you know, Ian McShane never hurts.
Right.
Nope.
More Ian McShane is always a good thing.
I have not seen. Well, I saw the first John Wick, the one with the puppy.
Yeah,
I don't want to see anymore.
That's one of the few movies where a dog died that I could stand it, but I almost walked out of the movie when the dog died at the beginning. I was so depressed.
It was so sad.
I knew that the dog died before I saw the movie, so I was mentally prepared for it, but I still didn't want it to happen.
I don't think you can ever be mentally prepared.
Just cements his rage.
Oh yeah!
You're just like, I want him to kill everyone.
Oh yeah!
And then the whole movie, and then he does.
Bloodlust was sated. Plus, so we were talking about this too. Keanu Reeves is so much handsomer than he used to be. Even like that guy keeps getting better looking.
He's aged
it
well.
Is insane how good looking that guy is.
He has aged well.
John, yeah, so he looks all handsome on that horse on the poster. I'm like, yeah, I'll see that movie. I'm gonna leave my wife and marry the John Wick poster.
Fun fact: the fight choreographers, because the original John Wick is really what the thing that's unique about it is just these. I'm not big into hand-to-hand combat fights. That's just not really.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I'm not. They're okay, but I'd rather see spaceships and stuff blowing
up.
Put
a lightsaber in there.
I'm kind of a lightsaber in my hand. I'm good to go.
I like a little Jackie Chan. I like a little space fight.
But what they do with the gunplay, the gung fu in this film, I just couldn't. It blew me away. They hire the choreographers for the action sequences for John Wick, the Russo brothers did when they did Civil War.
Oh, I believe it.
Yeah. And so especially it's apparent in the very beginning of Civil War when he has that that fight with that other dude on the ship.
Crossbones.
I've not seen any of the John Wick movies, and I understand they're good, they're fun, they're action movies. Is the story good?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, there's
you get into the story?
The first movie is more self-contained, but there's this implication of this like larger mythology.
Uh-huh.
The second movie kind of sets up this mythology that I think is really going to play out with the Continental and the hotel, and it's... You really should see them.
It's world building.
They've been on my list.
They've got to be in the top 10 action movies of the decade.
Oh,
right?
Easy.
I mean, especially if you say, other than like Marvel movies, kind of all one.
Well, and that
I'll make John Wick. I'll watch the first one this weekend and see where.
Really good. They're really stylish.
This was the big stink over Hotel Artemis because there was some talk early on before people really knew about the movie that this might have been another John Wick film, and it wasn't. But that element of that hotel and that whole thing within the John Wick films, it is world building within both of those movies. And so, yeah, the story's fantastic.
DVD and Blu-ray releases this week. We've got Isn't It Romantic and How to Train Your Dragon 3, The Hidden World.
How to Train Your Dragon series is really good.
I love it. I loved the first two, but I really enjoyed them.
The third one. Did you see the third one, Sam?
I did.
Oh, yeah.
I did.
It did not disappoint by
my gosh.
Any stretch. Those are really solid, apart from Pixar movies. I really, really enjoy them.
Very well done. Very, very well done. I mean, just like visually, the graphics and everything are just amazing.
Yeah.
And the story is just really good.
Yeah. Yeah, they're fun movies. I haven't seen the third one, but I was really, going into it expecting it to be a movie that was geared towards my kids, and I would just sort of, suffer through it and get through it, just like most, animated kids' movies. But no, it was very, very good.
It's actually just a good story.
It really is.
I mean, it is well done. I found that the choice of voice actors took me out of it a little bit.
Jay Baruchel.
Yeah.
He irritates me.
I don't mind him in other stuff.
Yes.
I just never felt like that voice fit that character. And it also made it hard for me to kind of grasp how old the characters were.
Yeah.
Now,
he's like 35.
It's a cartoon, so I don't need to overthink it. But that was just something that always struck me.
And Isn't It Romantic is the Rebel Wilson comedy?
Yes,
really funny. I actually want to see that.
Oh, really?
The premise of it is like she is in the real world and she gets like a head injury or something. And then she wakes up and she's kind of in a romantic comedy universe where the rules of romantic comedies apply to you.
And it's like a PG-13 romantic comedy too.
Yeah. So I've heard that's quite funny. And
Rebel Wilson is funny. She hasn't been in a lot of good movies.
Yes.
But she is funny.
Yeah. She has the capacity to be funny, but it's not often utilized.
Right.
So yeah, I want to see that one.
I think that it's not a movie that I would have paid to see in theaters, and I'm glad that I didn't. But I think that it'd be a fun movie to watch at home.
Oh yeah, this is a stream it on Amazon Prime movie for sure.
For sure. Yeah, absolutely. Interesting fact, kind of Game of Thrones related, but Kit Harington actually does one of the voices for How to Train Your Dragon 3, which I did not know. But he plays Arryt, which is the, I don't know if he's in any of the other movies. He's like the tough guy that, I don't know,
right.
Tough guy character.
If you're wiping out on YouTube, I got to find it. If you haven't seen, they do this little behind the scenes clip. Sam, have you seen it with Kit Harington and the dragon and Toothless?
I don't think so.
So basically what they did was they took Kit Harington and they put him on the soundstage, and then they CGI'd in Toothless into these scenes of him reading and all that when Toothless shows up. It's there. I'm not kidding you. It is hysterical. I must have watched it like 10 times. It is so damn funny.
I have to look that up.
It is. And it, usually that stuff doesn't work when they do something outside of the movies and bring in the voice actor. I wish they would do a whole thing about it, because it was just that funny.
There's nothing big new out on streaming, but movies out this week. 10 years ago, Angels and Demons and The Brothers Bloom.
Which one are you oofing?
I never saw Brothers Bloom because I want to like Rian Johnson as a person. Mm-hmm. I think his movies are unwatchable for the most part. And I remember seeing Brothers Bloom being like, oh, look, you made a Wes Anderson movie.
I don't particularly care for Wes Anderson films. I really like, even before Rian Johnson did or was announced to do The Last Jedi, I saw Brothers Bloom, and I personally really enjoyed it.
That was the first movie I really liked of his, was Last Jedi. I didn't like his indie movies. I like his blockbuster.
Yeah, I watched it because I really liked Looper.
Oh, yeah. I like 2/3 of Looper.
And so I went back and look, Brothers Bloom is super quirky. I will say this. I am still to this day, while very happy that Rian Johnson did The Last Jedi, I am still to this day surprised that he was chosen to direct that film based off of Brick, the Brothers Bloom, and Looper.
Yeah.
I don't know how that happened. Like, I don't mind. I love The Last Jedi. I adore that movie. But even when they announced it, I went, okay, this is interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know how they did that leap. But at the same time, they ended up hiring Gareth Edwards, who had only done that indie film Monsters to do Rogue One. So,
but Angels and Demons.
I haven't seen either of those movies.
Oh, Angels and
Demons
either.
Is terrible.
Angel,
terrible.
Isn't that the
Sissy Da Vinci Code sequel?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
I think it's the second of the three Da Vinci Code movies, and they get worse as they go. Even the Da Vinci Code movie, not that good, but Angels and Demons is bad.
Yeah, I haven't seen any of those movies.
You should watch Brothers Bloom. I think you'd enjoy it. It's quirky. It's funny.
Yeah.
It's adult. I really get a kick out of it.
Is it Wes Anderson-y? Is that fair?
Wes Anderson to me is too. I don't know. I'm not esoteric.
He's
not the right
very
word.
Specific.
Yeah.
There is a Wes Anderson movie.
Oh yeah. You either like Wes Anderson movies,
right.
Pretty much on the whole, or you don't.
I've seen many of them, and I don't like them.
Don't care for them, with the exception being Moonrise Kingdom.
Okay. Yeah. Right.
That was fantastic.
I love them. I like most of them except for Life Aquatic. So.
I would not compare it because I do not like Wes Anderson movies, and I liked this movie before he. And this was not my bias seeping in, which happens all the time. This was before The Last Jedi, so I'm not retroactively going, I love this movie because he did the movie that I had, the movie that I love, which I do a lot.
Movies out 20 years ago. Speaking of Star Wars, you had Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Menace, Notting Hill, and The 13th Floor. The 13th Floor?
Yeah, the 13th, oh, yeah. The 13th floor.
With Craig Bierko. Remember for a hot minute?
Craig Bierko and Gretchen Mol, right?
And Gretchen Mol. You and I have very agreement on Gretchen Mol's loveliness.
13th Floor was like a Matrix ripoff.
Yep.
Yeah, yep. And The Phantom Menace was like a Star Wars ripoff.
It was only 20 years. It feels longer than that, doesn't it?
It feels longer.
It feels like forever ago that Phantom Menace.
Yeah, you got
4. Came in out in 1999.
Yeah, so, and this is when they're all coming, because so all the anniversaries just happened. So Revenge of the Sith was 14, and then Attack of the Clones was 17, and so The Phantom Menace was 20.
Yeah. So, John, you were obviously a huge Star Wars guy then and everything. What was your Phantom Menace experience?
What was your, when you walked out of the theater for the first time, what was like the thing that you remember? Because I remember it for me specifically.
Yeah. I walked out of it thinking that I really enjoyed it. But it didn't floor me in the way that I guess I had hoped. I wouldn't say I was not disappointed, but certainly it was. I mean, look, I'll be honest. It was a lot the same way that I walked out of The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi. Just the level of hype leading into all of these films.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way for it to live up to that. It was different for me with Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith because my expectations had been drastically lowered. I'm like, right. Okay, I kind of know what we're in for now.
Well, you hadn't waited 20 right. years or whatever.
And you didn't have an internet full of like community forums and spoilers that were so easily accessible. Anyway.
Right, right.
So you could actually just like enjoy it and not have other voices come in.
I specifically remember walking out of the theater with a guy that I took to go see an early screening, and we both went, yeah, that was really good. I really liked it and talked about it on the way home.
I kind of missed the days when you could just enjoy a movie
mm-hmm.
and you didn't have to... Yeah. Be subjected to thousands of other people's opinions that, because it does. I mean, it's impossible not to have that influence you.
Yeah.
At some point. It really is. I remember my initial reaction walking out of the theater was I thought the movie was kind of boring
mm-hmm.
for the most part, but I loved that stupid scene when they're in the little water ship.
Yes, that's the best scene in the movie.
And they're making their way, you know, and then like every there's a bigger fish behind us every single time. I thought that was so cool. I love that.
The in my town, you know, it was a huge deal. Midnight screenings. My friends and I went to the theater in our town, the next town over, bigger, had more theaters. So everybody was like, you got to go to Carbondale to see it on the bigger screen. Well, 20 minutes into the movie, a raccoon got into a transformer and exploded the transformer. And all the midnight showings cut off 20 minutes into the movie
oh
and
my
no
God.
One got to see
no!
it. It was hilarious. And remember the hype of that? All the hype. People stood in line, and there's no movie. No.
Well, it's interesting, too, because Ahmed Best, who played Jar Jar Binks, he came out to Star Wars Celebration here in Chicago in April and to a standing ovation, which was cool. There's a mini documentary about him that's on YouTube, and it talks about – he almost committed suicide.
Yeah.
It talks about the story of him walking on a bridge in New York City looking over the edge, and he almost jumped off because of all the grief that he was given over playing Jar Jar.
And interestingly, you know, whenever I think of Jar Jar, I mean, I hated the character along with most other people, but because I have heard the stories about the actor, you know, it kind of has softened my dislike of that movie. But I've often equated the actor with Bartman. From Chicago.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
He did something that I really, 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 really did not like, but how he was treated gave me so much empathy for what his life became after that.
The problem is that Lucas wrote a stupid character and then put him too much in it, you know, whatever. It wasn't Ahmed Best's fault. It wasn't like the character would have been amazing if Chris Rock played him or something like that, you know?
And when you look at sort of George Lucas and his batting average, when you look at the Star Wars films and what he's put in, that was bound to happen. Like he was able to pull it off with Chewbacca. It didn't end up turning into a ridiculous big hairy dog. You know, he was able to pull it off with Yoda. It didn't end up being a stupid, ridiculous frog puppet.
Kind of with the Ewoks,
you
right?
You know, kind like of with the Ewoks, Jabba. Right?
Sure. Yeah.
And then you get to The Phantom Menace, and he wants to do this funnier character, this comedic character, and it just completely falls flat. It's not an excuse for the character being bad. I go back and I watch that film to me has really grown on me now, even on a nostalgic level.
Okay.
And when you look at the pacing, like you look at the pacing of The Phantom Menace and even go back to A New Hope, The Phantom Menace is still better paced.
That's true.
New Hope is. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a hell of slow.
The first part is
slow. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, they are what they are. They'll never remake them, and that's fine. But, you know, George, listen to the fandom. And if you go, it's funny, we look at Jar Jar. I was watching Attack of the Clones yesterday because it was the 17th anniversary, and I actually enjoyed that film. But, like, his role, he's got, like, one small scene in Attack of the Clones, and then he's only at the funeral at the end of Revenge of the Sith. He's just there. Didn't even say anything. So George listened. He heard the fan and was like, all right, fine.
Imagine being Ahmed Best, though, and thinking this is going to be the greatest thing that ever happened to you. You know, the disparity between thinking this is everything's going to happen because of this, and now it's nothing's going to happen because of this.
Yeah.
that's harsh.
But it was cool because the previous celebration, Hayden Christensen had come out to the event and was up on stage, and he also got a standing ovation, and it was cool to see these guys that really had taken just even pre-internet. I can't even.
Hey, they didn't.
Oh my god!
I can't even fathom those movies being released
today. Those guys are so lucky that Twitter didn't exist.
Oh my gosh! I can't even imagine.
No.
Yeah.
You know, I can't even imagine having a thick enough skin to go and deal with that. And again, look at Ahmed Best and what he took even without having the internet there saying those things. It's a tough thing to navigate through. And Drew, I'm with you. I am convinced that we're maybe peak Twitter nonsense isn't there, but I'm convinced that you saying that, my feeling it that there's this when it comes to social networking and the importance that we put on it and
I'm
what
done.
People say, I think
I'm so done.
I think people are piecing out. I think they so especially done. In wake
I'm
of done. Game of
I'm
Thrones.
I'm not gonna talk about pop culture on social media anymore. I just
it's not worth
I say I'm not. I'm sure I'll end up, you know, falling into it from time to time. But it's just not worth it. I'm really tired of all the fandoms. You know, just constantly, you know, turning their dislike of an episode or a movie or a season or whatever into a thing that has to be covered in the news and that companies have to respond to. You either like it or you don't, man. And, you know, and it's like, it's fine. I don't care. I don't blame the people for having the opinions. You can have whatever opinion
of course.
You want. You can like whatever you want. I'm tired of social media, specifically Twitter, turning it into, you know, fans are really upset about this season. Like it's a news story or something.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, what that does is that influences you.
Oh, yeah. Other people start to think, yeah, you know what? I think I'm upset about this too.
And yes.
I got to jump on this bandwagon.
Other people who maybe were on the fence, you know, and we'll just use this season of Game of Thrones as an example, but maybe on the fence about it. Like, I don't know. I mean, it's been okay. It wasn't quite what I expected. And then they see everybody else getting mad, and it's like FOMO, you know.
Sure.
Oh, I want to be a part of something. I want to feel like I'm part of this now. I'm going to yeah, this is terrible. I
fear of missing outrage.
Well, and we...
Yes. That's fantastic.
We were texting last night, and this is a perfect example. We watched the next day the last episode of Game of Thrones, and I texted Drew last night, and actually Sam too, and I at first watch I was a little taken aback by what had happened in that last episode and with Daenerys, and I liked it and I enjoyed the fact that I was completely caught off guard, but I was kind of like, I don't know, and then I didn't really pay attention to anything, and then as time went on over 24 hours I really came to the conclusion that I really really liked that to the point where I went that scene of her losing it is my favorite moment of all of Game of Thrones.
Really?
Only to come and find out that apparently the world disagreed with me.
Well,
and I'm glad that I formed my opinion.
I don't either. Look, yeah, I loved it.
Let me give you some nuance. I loved that scene where you can just see her brain breaking.
Yeah.
I loved that scene.
It was incredible.
What she did after it didn't make that much sense, and I thought it was a wasted opportunity because she should have just flown right at the Red Keep.
Yeah. Oh, and I just had more problems with stuff like, you know, like Jaime Lannister gets kidnapped off screen. Like the third or fourth most important character in the whole show gets kidnapped by the opposite army, and we don't bother to show it. That's a major thing to happen. That they're just rushing through all this stuff.
Yep. And I wish they weren't. I wish they weren't rushing through this season. I wish they hadn't given themselves a self-imposed deadline.
I think if they had gone for just like the normal 10, I think that would have made more sense.
Two seasons, 10 episodes each. I think they could have fleshed a lot of these things out. People, you know, I think the pacing is what has people most upset than anything else.
The first two episodes of this season were fine until now. Now I'm mad because nothing happened in the first two episodes, and they should have been having a bunch of stuff happen.
Yeah.
I thought they were building up to cool stuff, not building up to nothing.
That's fair.
No, I absolutely agree. I think the pacing is going to be real herky-jerky in retrospect.
I am really curious to see how they're going to close this whole thing out.
How they
can
wrap it up in, like, what, an hour and 20 minutes now?
I don't know how you wrap up a series like this and not piss some people off, unless you just go the very predictable route. But I am obviously curious to find out how they're going to wrap this thing up.
Yeah, Sundays have become the longest day. You know, it's like 2 o'clock, and I'm like, I'm ready. I'm ready now.
I'm saying it right now. Sam Tarly Jr. is on the Iron Throne.
Okay. You know what? Okay.
Shut up.
I'm agreeing with you.
I'm still sticking with Gendry.
I think I'm starting to think that might actually come to pass.
I think
Arya and Gendry, yeah.
This has been TCNT Movie Talk and TCNT Game of Thrones Talk. We do this every week, so tune in again next week. Hear us talk more about movies.
I got the horses in the bag. Horse stock is attached. Head is matted black. Got the boots, is black to match. Riding on a horse.